Welcome to Hers,
His,
and Ours,
part of the Scheiss Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to a Hers, His, and Ours special event as we take on the Netflix reality competition show Battle Camp one episode at a time.
Welcome to Battle Camp.
Well, we start with the inevitable.
It's over.
It's over. That was episode 10.
Womp womp.
But that episode starts with high drama as...
We suspect... Well, I suspect.
Yeah. I was hopeful, but... The wheel landed on Trey. Finally sent him packing after lots of gamesmanship. What's interesting, though, is that they're all in a big huddle. They're all kind of like embracing, waiting for the wheel to hit. It lands on him. I don't know why people are acting shocked when the odds are definitely in his favor. But also, afterwards, everyone's like, you played an excellent game. You played an incredible game, which he did. So, like, why were they so up his ass?
Because they knew he was a threat because he was playing a good game. But it's interesting because knowing how they flipped the tables, this probably would have been the week his name wouldn't have ended up on the wheel.
Correct.
Unless he won challenges or punishments.
He might have won the hang.
Yeah.
He may have been able to win one of the planks. The punishment, maybe, but... It was cool that they decided to reverse the polarity of the wheel so that your name going on the wheel was important.
Yeah.
And then they took some of the older punishments and reverse engineered the punishment so that winning or being in the top three, I think, put you on the wheel or something like that. And then they
pretty much reversed everything.
Yeah. So everything got your odds, your name on the wheel, like winning in these situations didn't keep you off the chopping block. It put you on the counter to have a chance to win. And I feel like it was a good mechanism for the most part because we saw the ice bath thing again, which they did holding their breath timed, and they did it blind, so nobody knew the results. And then they did the pedometer challenge again, where everybody just ran and you didn't really know the results. So they had sort of like a half wheel ceremony where everybody dressed up just to announce the winners of those couple things. Then they did the challenges and...
A couple of the challenges too was a reveal on the wheel. The hanging one.
Yes, because the hanging one was timed, just like the ice bath of who could hang the longest. And then the other one was the planks, which involved some deception and... Some maneuvering, and it worked really well in Shuby's favor because he's like such a nervous wreck that him trying to be honest,
they question.
Yeah, it was
well, only Lorenzo.
Yeah,
questioned.
It was so weird. I think Lorenzo was like right in terms of reading the body language to question it, but there's two other places that you could go to, you didn't have to take his spot. But then after all that happens, you know, Lorenzo, he even says, he's like, I played myself, but he was already on the wheel twice. He didn't know that he was on the wheel twice, but he did well in the ice bath. He did well in the hang. He did not win in the pedometer, or he did?
He did not. Georgia won, but Georgia and Lorenzo were only 49
That's right.
steps apart,
That's
so
right.
he almost won.
He was very close to making the top three for that. So... The plank, it's QT, Georgia, and Chase. And all of a sudden, Chase and Georgia are talking about how well they know each other and how they're friends outside the competition. I'm like, excuse me, what?
I know. And then I was thinking back and I was like, did we miss that? Or did they keep that very close to their chest? Because then in hindsight, I think she probably brought it up when he first got there. And then he did pick Georgia first for his team.
He did, yeah.
So that would make sense.
It makes a little more sense in hindsight. It just feels like they haven't spoken about it since then. And her and Lorenzo were so close that it just seemed like Chase was not even a friend of hers. But, you know, he's interrogating her, and she has to either lie or tell the truth about which plank is going to fall. And he can see right through her. And QT did a really bad job of telling her where to go, telling Georgia where to go.
Yeah, I feel like Chase, like, we saw Georgia's behavior with, like, her mannerisms were very different when she was lying. And then to, like, the panic of, like, okay, now I'm really telling you the truth. I get him questioning it, but he caught, like, QT's behavior instantly. Yeah. So knowing what that QT had lied and that he was telling her to only, or that QT was telling Georgia to only go to the plank that she was now on, Chase should have trusted Georgia, then flipping the script, and he should have moved QT.
Yeah, he should have. In hindsight, but mathematically, the only plank that he knew 100% was safe was the middle one.
True. But except for when QT went to the middle one first, he knew she was lying. And Georgia did panic when she first got onto the middle one.
Well, yeah, what happened was QT was standing on the safe one in the middle, with the drop on one side and a safe on the other side. And she knew that she didn't want Georgia to panic or to freak out. So she's like, stand here on the left where it's safe. And then technically, if QT was standing on the drop zone, both the left and the right would have been safe. So Chase knew that the middle was safe.
Yeah, except for he said in the beginning, when QT first did that, like he called her out on lying. Because she was saying she was on the drop.
Yes.
And he said, because she looked twice, wait, let me look at it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, if you knew that was the drop, you wouldn't need to look at that again. You would be too scared. But like it being safe, you would probably want to be like, are you sure I'm safe, kind of a thing. And so he caught that right away.
He did, yeah. So he could have moved her to the drop zone.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He should have moved QT to the drop zone. And then when Georgia was panicking and being like, okay, no, now I'm telling you the truth. Like, that is the drop. This is safe. He should have believed Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if they're friends and I don't know. It played out weird, but it made me realize that I don't like pre-existing relationships for this structure. I feel like everybody should be strangers having to work on all of the social relationships.
Agreed.
For the first time. Because you saw, like, having Bree in there change things, throwing Polly in there when Gio was in there change things. Like, say Morgan had come and Gabby was still there. It's like, oh, yeah, we're on the same cheer team. So it's like having those pre-existing relationships really tinkered with, I think, what the actual truth of the game strategy is. Because there's going to be alliance forming, there's going to be friendships that form, but all of that stuff should have to be earned inside the camp. So
that's why I was so pro Georgia and Lorenzo, because yeah, they weren't friends beforehand. They did actually build that friendship and create that alliance organically in the camp, and I think they were the only duo to do that, because even QT and Shubi, well, they weren't on the same season necessarily. They're like, oh, we're the Circle fam.
Yeah, they're Circle alumni. So they probably knew each other a little bit.
Yes. But Lorenzo and Georgia didn't know each other from anything, because there was never a show crossover for them.
Yeah. Other than the, you know, like the Netflix cast mixers, I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was all of the shows. That's all of the, usually like the dating shows.
Gotcha. Like, look, we need you all to be mingling and canoodling. I think what I understand why Netflix did it, right? You want to have a show that draws people's attention in order to get eyeballs on it. It's like, oh, watch the people that you knew from this game and The Mole and see all these different competition games compete in a new competition game. But at the end of the day, I think what I actually want from this format is just new people. You just sign up. Like, I think they did that for Squid Game season 2. I was very close to sending in an application to see if I could play, because it was filmed out here in Los Angeles.
Have we seen? But Squid Game season 2 hasn't aired yet, right?
No, but they did. They were casting for it.
I know. I was like, please don't.
I know. I was like, ooh, this is. I was like, this would be so much fun. But yes, I didn't do it. But I think, yes, regular people, because otherwise it's like, look, I get that they sort of become reality TV stars and like that's their bread and butter, I guess. But like you heard Lorenzo, he's like, I'm not buying a house. And maybe if I win this money, we can talk. But
sorry, Lorenzo, you still can't buy a house in the OC with that.
No, definitely not. But yes, we get to the end and we see.
Oops, spoiler alert.
It's fine. People should have watched episode 10 by now if they're listening to
true,
this.
True, true.
We see that there is a reverse vote, too. So you have to vote for someone who you want to win. And I feel like Polly was kind of unnaturally on the wheel. In
for
that
sure.
Shuby and Lorenzo had to like take pity on her to give her a chance. And it's like, she's rich, you morons. They're not morons, but they're just like big-hearted guys. And it's like, she's rich. She bragged about how much money she makes when she came to the show, right? You know, she dresses expensive. She looks expensive. And her and G were like, oh, we made each other so much money. Like, yeah, because you sell like million-dollar homes in Orange County. So she didn't need the money. So she didn't need to be on the wheel. But they took pity on her. And even Lorenzo said, he's like, I'm a very strategic player. But I said I would tell you the truth. And he told her the truth. And so that got her name on the wheel. And then she went to Chase and begged to have a vote so that she didn't want to feel left out when nobody voted for her at the end. But again, like, she shouldn't be playing in a show for $250,000. She's a real estate agent that is like wealthy on television.
I know. I kind of feel like it would have been more interesting for her to not be on the wheel. Like, there should have been someone not on the wheel. Like, was there some production involvement in making sure everyone's on it at least once?
I don't know. But
because, like, don't you think that would have been interesting if she wasn't on it?
Yeah, you just make her sit there with a shit-eating grin on her face at the end. Because, like, she didn't really end up rubbing me the wrong way, but I definitely didn't want her to win.
For sure.
I didn't want her or Chase or QT. Like, I was okay with Shuby winning, but really I would have preferred Lorenzo or Georgia.
Same.
And Chase ended up on the wheel, what, 4 times?
He was
Georgia
on it the most.
Georgia ended up 4 times.
With Georgia, yeah.
Lorenzo and Shuby were 3 each, and then Polly and QT were 2 each. And Lorenzo won.
Yay, Lorenzo!
Yeah. I feel like he had the biggest growth arc, but also I left off with not liking him on Squid Game. I think like with Squid Game, there's like too many people and like his personality like didn't find its opposite, you know, like when he found Georgia, it sort of brought out the best in him versus in Squid Game that wasn't there to happen. So he just seemed to be like a strategic sort of cunning, bitchy, manipulative player. And maybe he would have been in this setting, too. But I think finding Georgia sort of gave them both a North Star. And so, of course, they voted for each other. QT and Shuby voted for each other.
Chase and Polly
voted for each other. So everybody at least got one vote from somebody else. And we definitely thought that Chase was going to vote for himself, which I was like, this just shouldn't be allowed in the rules, right? The whole idea is like, who would you want to win the money? And so it was at least nice to see that he did vote for Polly. But
I wonder if he was told he couldn't, though.
It's possible. But also, like, so Chase won the odometer challenge, right? And then he won. It wasn't the breath holding.
It was the breath holding.
It was. He got in the top 3. So I feel like it's also just really unfair to have a guy who's an ex-pro athlete in this competition as well. So it's like you need to have normal people on the show in order to actually like equal the playing field, number one, and number two, literally start from scratch so that everybody's meeting each other for the first time on the bus on the way to camp. And it's much more like a real summer camp in that way. I mean, you could do it like season to season with the same cast, like the same kids keep coming back for summer camp, or like you keep adding to the cast each year with new groups of people, and maybe that gives it an interesting wrinkle. And I get that Netflix maybe doesn't want to hire nobodies to be on the show, but I think the purest form of what the game is would be doing it that way.
Yeah.
And some regular person probably needs the 250 grand way more than a Netflix reality star.
True. But I mean, I think some of the people from these shows are not like Netflix reality TV star personalities making money. Like, all these people are not influencers that are capitalizing from being on Netflix.
Yeah, but well, they're all getting paid to be there.
Well, yeah, for this they are, but not from like a regular, it's now a regular income for them post show.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you could probably build a reality show like a Vanderpump or The Valley or something around Georgia and Lorenzo and some of these people.
Yeah, I would totally
watch. The right personalities, you could totally do it.
I would totally watch a reality show with Georgia and Lorenzo just being friends in like society.
Yeah. They'd be fun. You could sort of tack on to that. I don't think I would need to see like Chase and a lot of the other cast members in there. I'm not going to watch Selling the OC.
No.
Although I do want to find out why Gio's eyes and nose are constantly blackened.
Maybe it had something to do with the weather there, because maybe that's why Chase was putting on makeup, because I noticed like his eyes were like that too, like redness on the side.
I mean, they're probably at high altitude.
Maybe they're at high altitude, and obviously it was cold too, so maybe they're filming during the winter or something.
Yeah.
And it's like the cold weather, you know, like how snow weather kind of like chaps your face a little bit.
Yeah. Because I asked you, I was like, do you think he's a boxer? Like, because it looked like his eyes were punched in.
Yeah.
He was very bruised around his orbital bone. So, yeah, but it makes sense with why they all brought makeup, even the guys. Well, maybe not all of them, but the ones who were camera conscious. But yeah, the girls were getting like very dolled up for kind of like minute stuff. It's like you're about to go do like a sweaty physical challenge. Like, why are you putting on like eyeliner and eyeshadow?
Which is also funny because it's like you guys are on camera all the time.
Yeah.
Like, why are you putting on makeup during specific events?
Yeah.
But from a Big Brother standpoint, where there's cameras all the time, they probably forget about it for a certain amount of time until it's something like this where it's like it's a highlight of the show kind of a thing. Cause like on Big Brother, they would dress up for elimination nights, but then that was because whoever was going home would exit the house and be interviewed by Julie Chen on a live stage. So that makes sense.
Oh, that's right, because the sound stage was the house, right?
Yes. So like something like that makes sense. So I kind of understand why they're doing it if they just forget about the cameras until it's time when there's more of a spotlight on them, but they're still not changing their environment, so it's still kind of funny that they do that.
Yeah. It was a fun show to watch. It was a fun experiment. I had probably as much fun in here gossiping and shit talking and strategizing.
Me too. It was fun.
As I did watching the show itself. Cuz I think this was a big part of the fun was doing this with you. So,
aw, me too.
So maybe we'll find another show like this to do it for. I hope people listen to this and enjoy it, and maybe, I don't know, I don't think we can become like regular reality commentarians, commentators.
I think there's too much. We'd have to pick and choose.
There's way too much. Way, way, way too much. So,
I mean, we could do it if you would catch up and watch The Valley with me.
I don't want to. See, but that's not the kind of reality show I want to commentate on.
I know.
Because then it's like all I can do is be bitchy and critical and just make me sound like an ass so than usual.
Okay, so let's try and do it maybe if the next season of the reality or like the Squid Game Challenge reality show comes back.
Something with a competition, like Physical 100 Asia would be a good one. Because I know they're working on it, but
who knows when it's going to come out.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger, but it's still going to be 100 people, so. But that's really cool. For people that don't know what the hell I'm talking about, it was a Korean-based show where They basically brought in, like,
also Netflix, right?
Yes. Like Olympians, fighters, bodybuilders, CrossFit athletes, Instagram fitness influencers. And it was all obsessed with, like, finding the physique that is most capable of basically a wide variety of challenges. And it's interesting in that you really have some strategy in team building and how you approach certain events. It's a lot more physically challenging than Battle Camp. So they should do Physical 100 with the Netflix cast.
I mean, I feel like that's going to be hard for me to track in the beginning with so many people for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that show understands that there's too many people at first. So you notice that in both of the seasons, there's people who are, like, famous within the Korean athletic circle. So they sort of draw attention. Like, the reason that I watched, I think, the first season was because Sexyama was on it, right? So I was like, oh, this is a guy whose, like, fighting career I watched in Japan. And when he transitioned to, like, fight in the U.S., like, I know who this guy is. And he was famous for being that guy. And then there was, like, oh, someone who won a gold medal for Korea, like, is very famous. So, like, they're... the camera and the production is drawn to certain personalities a lot more just because of the pull that they have within the room. And then you start to see, like, as the herd thins, like, which people are kind of your favorite. Mm. There was a guy who finished second in the first season who is a firefighter, but, like, the Korean firefighter training is intense. And so he was like, I'm coming back and I'm going to try to win it the second time. I don't think he did, but he did pretty well again.
Okay.
But they have stuff where it's like proportional to your size. So, like, if you're a bigger guy with more muscle, there's a challenge where you basically have to hold a weight that is measured to, like, 60% of your body weight. So similar to the rope hang, except for you're holding a weight on the rope. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's like, if you're 110-pound, like, female gymnast or something like that, and you're in that same challenge, you're not holding the same weight as the big guy. You're holding the same percentage of your body weight as that person. So it's scaled a little bit more evenly like that. And so it's pretty good. And then they do some, like, really crazy team challenges too, which are always interesting to see.
Okay. I mean, I love competition shows.
Yeah. And the first season that I watched, I was like, this show's great. The amount of money the production would have to spend to get the same caliber of athletes in the U.S. would be insane.
Yeah.
Because there's no way, like, a high profile, big time athlete would do it for the kind of money that they're paying. Because it's number one, you wouldn't want to risk your ego for something like that. So you could really only pull from, like, retired athletes.
Mm.
And if you're an NFL player that's making, you know, 15, 20 million, NBA player making $30 million a year, is it worth it to potentially injure yourself in the off season in pursuit of this other thing?
Yeah.
So both of the fighters that were on the show, they were both essentially retired. You know, Stun Gun, who competed in season two, Dong Hyun Kim, he was like 40, 41. He still did really well. He was a leader. People knew who he was. Like, he wasn't necessarily the best strategist, but he got really far just on, like, his willingness to put in effort. And, like, okay. Sexyama did well, too, for that reason.
All right.
Yeah, it's fun. Physical 100 Asia is going to be the shit.
I mean, we still need to finish Special Forces.
Yeah, I feel like we could have done this show, like, had we started Special Forces at the beginning. Because then that would make sense, because it is a week-to-week show. Well, maybe season two, but we can go back to that now with no pressure.
All right.
Yeah. But I like doing this, and I hope people enjoyed us doing this. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they enjoy it more or less than listening to us talk
about anything
per usual.
Else.
Yeah.
I don't know if enough people are aware of Battle Camp. I mean, it shows up as on the banner or, like, the homepage for us because we're watching it. And it did show up. I guess it was suggested for me because I watched some of the other shows.
I think it was in the top 10 on Netflix.
Was it? Okay.
Like, number 7 or 8.
When it released. All right. Well, maybe enough people have watched it.
Maybe. If you have, listen to us be catty bitches about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It is. And we'll find another one to do this, but we'll get back in the meantime to Brothers and Sisters and This Week on the Couch. We'll get back to...
It's finale season.
I know. We got Podicy two-parter It's not going to be back-to-back episodes in the week-to-week. It's not going to be like a two-hour long finale, right?
It might be, because Grey's Anatomy finale isn't yet, so maybe the Odyssey was 2 hours tonight. Maybe Grey's will be next week or something.
Ooh. Well, help us save Dr. Odyssey. If you're listening to this and you like Battle Camp, Dr. Odyssey's not even remotely the same thing, but you might see Jennifer Hudson on the show, so...
Yeah, hopefully Joshua Jackson sold that pitch.
Yeah, Podyssey for the win. Seemed like they could do it. They only got one episode left, though. Maybe two.
No, that interview was recent, so they need season two to get Jennifer Hudson on it.
Yep.
But I still want you to try Big Brother, like an OG season when it was really good.
Okay. We'll find one. We'll watch Little American Gladiators. I've got season one on DVD.
On DVD?
Yeah.
That's a DVD show?
No, they actually, they released the DVD for it probably like in the 2010s, but it was a 1980s, early 90s show.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Steroids, jocks, smashing each other.
Fantastic.
But they also, the tennis ball game was my favorite.
You know what I loved as a kid? What's Did that? You watch Double Dare?
Yeah, I watched Double Dare. Did you watch Guts? Guts was the shit.
What about
with the aggro crag and the upside down climbing thing?
Yeah. What about
Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yeah, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, that's probably why I like this stuff. Is because I grew up with these competition types of
shows. '90s nostalgia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll find something, but we'll be back with This Week on the Couch and more Brothers and Sisters on Hers, His, and Ours
after this short break.
I don't know how long it'll be, but yes. But be kind to yourself, be kind to others. Take care and have a good night.
Thanks for listening to Hers, His, and Ours. We'd love for you to continue on this journey with us. The easiest way to do that is to like and subscribe to the show on the podcast platform of your choice. Follow our socials at Hers, His, Ours, spelled like time, on Instagram and X. To keep tabs on this show and others in the Scheist Podcast Network, follow at Scheist Podnet on Instagram, Blue Sky, and X.